It was August 1974, a Pathfinder camp in Lyme Regis, and a very, very nervous 15-year-old stood up in front of a room full of teenagers having had their breakfast to give the thought for the day after breakfast and before the activities. First talk ever. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The talk on little postcards stood there. Try to imagine a really terrible football team who lose every... never practicing and never having the proper kit on, but suddenly they come under new management and everything changes. Gradually they begin to win and play better. They realize the imp of regular practices and wearing the right kit. This is like Jesus in our lives. It was sound, wasn't I? Before we became Christians, we're like that old football team. But when we commit our lives to him, we too are put under new management, God's management. The Living Bible, is obviously the trendy one of the time, describes this as becoming a brand new person inside. The old represents us before we become Christians with all our selfish ways. The new represents the new beginning we make. So just as the football team showed signs of new life once under a new manager, so the Christian must also show signs of the new power within him. I remember that day. I remember looking at those cards like 1,000,000,000 times before. And I remember standing out there and speaking to people. Little did I know that some 47 years later, that same person would be thinking again about this verse. But this time, with some theology. Because we're thinking new in 2022. And this morning I want us to think new creation. Listen to that verse. I kept it in the Revised Standard. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You see, there is so much more to this verse than a rubbish football team having a new manager. Although at the time, it must have really appealed to those kids. But I've learnt over many years since that you have to put scripture into context. What did Paul mean when he said that? What's the context behind these words? Well, it's quite simple, actually. He's trying to get those Corinthians to realize that they now see the world with a different eyesight. They now have kind of gospel eyes. Let's just go back a couple of verses from that verse 17. And this is what it says. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. You see, Paul is speaking to the Corinthians from a personal experience. He's saying to them almost, you know, look here, guys. Once upon a time, I saw Jesus in human terms. I saw him as this dangerous rabbi that was coming in to cause a trouble and stir up a rebellion against the authorities. And I, because of that, persecuted all his followers. But now I realize I was wrong. And I now have had my eyes opened to see and actually to meet the real Jesus. And look at the words that he tries to get that across to the Corinthians. He uses words to explain it. He says, no longer, from now on, and once. You see, for Paul, there was this, you know, really radical, amazing turnaround of his lifestyle. One minute he's looking this way, he meets Jesus, and now he's looking this way. He had a personal experience that. But he wants to get that across to the Corinthians. No, not all of them had experienced Jesus on the Damascus Road, but they had experienced Jesus. And so he wants them to understand that. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. Behold, the new has come. And in the Greek language that Paul was using at that time, it was a colloquial Greek. In actual fact, what he said was simply this. If anyone in Messiah, new creation. And we can easily, I think, lose sight of that old and new because we think, oh, that's Paul. You know, Paul's conversion, Paul's turnaround. Yeah, but he's trying to make that point to us that the old life is gone and that new life has begun. Last week at Spectrum, we had a look at Simeon. And we thought together about my eyes have seen your salvation. My eyes have seen your salvation. So what? Full stop? End of the story? No. Because that salvation for every single one of us means a new prescription in your glasses. We see things totally different, which is what Paul was trying to say. Once upon I saw it like this. And this is what I thought of people. And this is what I thought of the world. But now I'm seeing it like this. But it was two words that struck me again as I was looking at this verse this week. And it's these two words. In Christ. In Christ. It's a popular Paul thing. He uses it about 150 times through his letters. So if you're ready, we'll just go through all 150 now, or I'll just give you a synopsis. You see, in Christ is actually in fact a stupendous reality. There's a lot behind those two words, a lot, and it's big in our understanding of what salvation actually means. So in Christ is a status. It's a state of being. Those people on Facebook, you know exactly what I mean when I say status. You change your status all the time. But the word in describes the status of something in relation to another thing. So, for example, the letter is in the post. The letter and the envelope meet each other. So in Christ, what we're saying is that we are in Christ. That's our status, in Christ. How did our status in Christ begin? What happened? Well, I have to go to another couple of verses of Paul, because typical Paul, he doesn't say all of it in one hit. So we have to go to Ephesians. And you also were included, what? Correct. When you believed, you were marked, what? With a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. We have been marked in him with a seal. Now, please don't try and get me to explain to you the mechanics of it. But it's just like the mechanics of the iCloud. I ain't got a clue how it happens. I don't know, but I believe it. And I believe that we've been marked with a seal. When we believed, something supernatural happened. Something that we can't get our heads around, but it happened. And it occurred. We were marked with a seal. And the first Christians, particularly those in Ephesus, would have understood what a seal, being marked in a seal, meant. Because often a king would send out a letter and the envelope or the back of whatever it was sealed by pressing his ring into warm candle wax. So that guaranteed that that letter, that document, was genuine and authentic, and it was written by who it said it was. You know, it's where we get the word signet ring from. You know, a few years ago I needed some documents to be notarized, and when I was there in the solicitor's, out came their sealing wax, and the solicitor took the documents with the wax and put the seal there. So I understood what it means. And many, many years before sealing wax, of course, many of us used to put this on the back of letters. And if you can't remember, or you're too young, people like Lucy Jane will never have ever heard of this. But Lucy, in the past, we used to write letters to one another. You can't do it with emails. And we used to put sealed with a... But if you really thought the world of somebody, what did you put before the K? L, sealed with a loving kiss. That was like up a notch. But you get the idea of being sealed. Our status in Christ is for sure. We have been sealed. We have been stamped. We are authentically guaranteed that the Holy Spirit lives in us. But also, a seal showed ownership. When they were moving their merchandise around the countries and they were transporting it from one place to another, they would indicate somehow that it belonged to whoever and where it was going. It was the original luggage labels, or those of you that love uniform things that you have to sew into uniform. You understand that it showed the ownership. Our status is sure in Christ. We are owned, we are approved, and we belong to Christ. Can I have an amazing amen?
Amen.
Believe it. And this is for you. We're not talking about Joe Bloggs out there this morning. We're not talking about the church as a corporate people. We're talking about us as individuals. Our status is in Christ. You join a gym, yes, and you buy the membership, yes, and you can use all the facilities that you want to. Whatever you want is yours. You get their emails to tell you about special offers, and you are a gym member. That is your status. Great. Hope you enjoy it. But your status only benefits you if you use it. Your status only benefits you if you use it. You must have a relationship with the gym. Bear with me. A relationship with the gym, not with the people standing by the equipment. With the gym. If you don't use it, you're only a gym member in name. And you will continue to look like this. But if you use it and you benefit from it, you could possibly, once upon a time, look like this. You see, you get my point. And the point is that status alone isn't enough. So we can know that we're in Christ. We can know that we have been marked with a seal. But it's more than that. It's about having a relationship. In Christ is a relationship. It's not a static status, but it's a living, everyday relationship. Remember this man. What did he say? At the end of every question almost? I've started, so I'll finish. That's almost what Paul is saying here. You know, let's equate that with our journey with Christ. I've started. I've been marked with a seal. I'm going to finish. But in actual fact, Paul says, continue. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives, what? In him. Rooted and built in him. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. It's all about continuing in him. There was a moment in your life when you received Jesus as Lord. There was a time, maybe several times, maybe like me, you got thrust in your hand with that Journey into Life book back in the 70s. And you prayed the prayer every night just in case it didn't work. But you received Christ Jesus as Lord. Maybe that was years later. I can quite honestly say when I stood with these postcards, yes, I knew Jesus. But did I really know Jesus as Lord? Did I? I'd have to say, no, I didn't. Maybe it's the same with you. That journey from that first point of saying yes to Jesus and then being able to say, yes, he's my Lord. The starter pista sounded. You're in Christ, but you need to continue. Paul says, continue to live your lives in him. Receiving Jesus is just the beginning. There's so much more. Therefore, Paul says, because of all the things he's already said in that passage, if, and it's lovely, anyone, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Wasn't there so much more to that verse than a rubbish football team having a new manager? You see, it's a new life. And so I ask you this morning the question that I ask myself regularly. Am I in Christ? Am I still there? Or has the new way of life become a distant, distant memory? Because we can forget what that new life once was. And we can get back into the run-of-the-mill old life. So this morning, in Christ, and our response when we know we're in Christ is, I'm absolutely wholly yours. You died in my place, bore my disgrace. I'm wholly yours. I'm held by the power of your love. Jesus, I'm wholly yours, and nothing can tear us apart. Living for only Jesus, only you. Close your eyes and listen as Lou Fellingham just reminds us of those truths.